How many of you have had synchronicity going on in your lives lately? A little bit? Some? Synchronicity? Well, I don't know why, but for the last week or two, I've been having lots of synchronicity about Mount Shasta. And I went to Mount Shasta many years ago. I don't know if you're aware that Mount Shasta is one of the holy mountains of the world, and a lot of very strange things happen there. And Mike, the fellow who gave the talk here 2 weeks ago, said to me that he wanted to go to Mount Shasta, and I told him that I had gone many years ago, and the circumstances were this. My parents had moved to Palm Beach and invited me to come visit them, which was rare in itself. So I flew. I was living in Wisconsin. My girlfriend drove me down to the airport in Chicago, and I got on a plane and went to Palm Beach and spent a week and came back. But she couldn't come pick me up. So I thought, gee, I must know somebody who lives near the airport who can pick me up. And I thought of my friend Homer, who was a very highly evolved guy that I'd known for years. And I called him up and said, can you pick me up at the airport? And he said, sure. So he picked me up and said, before we go to the house, I have to go downtown to my office because I'm renting this co-op office. This was a new thing at the time. The building was right next to the Tribune Tower. And they rented out these offices where you only paid for the amount of time you were actually using the office. And in the meantime, you had a secretary and you had a mail drop and phone number and everything else. So it was a very handy thing. And Homer was doing astrological forecasting for people in the market. So we had a client coming in, and he said, so I'm going to be tied up for an hour. Amuse yourself, and then we'll go out to the house. So I thought, well, you know, I used to live in Chicago. I must know somebody I haven't talked to in a long time. I'll call somebody up. So I thought about it and tried a few numbers. Well, the minute I thought about, I'm going to make a phone call, this little guy in a white suit came up to me and he said, hi, I'm so-and-so. Something came in the mail this morning, but I think it's for you. My office is on the 35th floor, so when you get done doing your phone calls, come on up and see me. I'd never seen the guy. I'd never talked to him. I had nothing to do with him, you know, just out of the blue. So I tried my phone calls, and they didn't work. So I thought, okay, I'm going to the 35th floor. And I walked into the guy's office, and he says, I think this came for you. And he hands me this thing about a meeting of the Great White Brotherhood at Mount Shasta in the coming summer. Well, I'd recently finished reading the Philos book about Mount Shasta, the Brotherhood of Mount Shasta, and so forth. And I looked at this and I thought, if this has anything to do with what I read in those books, I'm going, one way or the other, I'm going. So, time went by. I had absolutely no money at the time, and I had calculated, as I usually do, the absolute last second I could leave and get there in time for this. And I was thinking about riding my motorcycle from Wisconsin to Mount Shasta, which is a couple of thousand miles. That's a long motorcycle ride. If you've ever taken a motorcycle ride, that's a long one. And I still was kind of on the fence about the whole thing. And my girlfriend and I sat down at the table and she said, I had a dream last night about a UFO. This never happened with her, ever. She was not into this stuff at all. She said, I think you're supposed to go to this. So I got on my motorcycle, headed for Mount Shasta. And I was sort of coming through a downhill fast sweeper, about 80 miles an hour, passing a hay wagon. And it was like I sort of came to my senses. I thought, holy tomato, I'm riding a motorcycle to Mount Shasta. I'm halfway across Minnesota. And I thought, I have no idea why I'm doing this. But I was committed at that point, so I kept on going. That night, I had no money for hotels or anything, so I rolled out my sleeping bag on the shore of this lake, and I looked up at the stars, and there was one right overhead that was moving. And it moved around, and it moved around, and I thought, hi there. And with that, I was out cold, don't remember a thing. And I eventually got to Mount Shasta, and they were so happy to see me, this grungy biker coming. I was assigned a campground. And there were two guys who were there already, and they looked like Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, the guys with the black pants and white shirts and neckties, you know, who were going to give you the watchtower. They took one look at me and the motorcycle and said, And I said, do you guys mind if I use the picnic table to sleep on? I said, yeah, fine, fine, like, no problem, you know. So there I was. And the first night, I go in this like a revival tent, and they've got a painting of Saint Germain on one side and a painting of Jesus on the other, and the sage in between. And I'm singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic with all these blue-haired little old ladies. I thought, what in the hell am I doing here? What is this about? I was completely baffled. But as the week went on, everybody told me their story about how they'd gotten there, and everybody's story was at least as strange as mine was. One guy was a cab driver from New York City, and he somehow winds up in Northern California at Mount Shasta. Another guy was hitchhiking on Maui in Hawaii, and somebody gives him a ride and says, we're going to Mount Shasta, you want to go? He says, yeah, sure. So he winds up there. Everybody's story was very strange, and people kept telling me things that were wrong about my life. It was extremely odd. Well, there was one guy at the campground who was in the campsite next to mine, who, if you were a Hollywood casting director, you would cast this guy as the lead in Jesus Christ Superstar. He was this tall, I'm not into guys, but I would say beautiful guy, and a terrific person. And we wound up sort of hitting it off, and we're sitting there smoking a joint and having a great old time. And I said, well, I got to turn in. So I went over to my campsite, and I'm unrolling my sleeping bag, and I'm thinking, you know, every little old lady in earth shoes is seeing flying saucers and stuff. And I, who am so interested in these things, have seen nothing. And with that, I look up, and you can see the outline of the mountains. And over here, way above the outline of the mountains, is this bright light that's pulsing at me. And I yelled to the people at the other campsite, and I said, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. You know, nothing. And I talked to them the next day, and they said, we all heard you, we just didn't look for some reason. It was just for you, I guess. So I was mesmerized by this and watched it for, well, probably a half an hour or so. And I finally thought to myself, well, now I've seen it. There it is. Okay, good night. And it sort of buzzed at me and went, good night, wink. And it didn't fly off or anything. It just disappeared. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a city beneath Mount Shasta that's supposedly about 20 miles in size. And it is allegedly the home of some of the ancient Atlanteans who survived the cataclysm. Some people say Lemurians, I don't know. Some very evolved people. In the 70s, I had learned about all this stuff, and every night I had a chart up on the wall. I would go to the retreats of the masters to be taught. And one of the main places that I went regularly was to Mount Shasta. So I thought maybe we should go there and ask permission to be invited in. And if they want you to come and you know, learn with them, they'll tell you. So we'll go to a couple of different places and see what's cooking. Remember, all of these things are, you ask, and they will tell you whether they want you to be there or not, and whether they want you to come back. There are a lot of people who sort of force the issue and say, well, I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to look. That's really not the way to do it. It's like going to somebody's house, you know, you don't just walk in, you just ask, you know, hello. So let's try this and see what we get, if you're up for it. Yes? Okay.